Well, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I am finding a fair amount of victory over alcoholism, and they call me Jack. How are you? I hope you're all well this Wednesday evening. So we're going to continue on in our teaching series. We are on lesson 20, our teaching series, which I like to call Recovery for Fun and Profit. I don't know what you call it, but we're going to move into step 10, daily inventory, as our lesson today. And you might be thinking, did he just say the I word? I mean, didn't we do that in step 4? I did an inventory. And while it was helpful for my recovery, it was awful. In fact, I've torn it up. I've crumpled it up. I've stomped on it. I burned it and I buried it. And now he's talking about it again. Yes, we are. We're going to talk about it again. Actually, if you feel that way about step 4, good news tonight. Because if you consistently follow what we're going to talk about tonight in the step 10 daily inventory, you have the possibility of never having to do a step 4 again. So it could be good news there. But there's a catch. There's work to do. And so if we look at step 10, what we're going to be talking about tonight, it's kind of the step 4 killer, but it does take some work. So we'll get right into that. Our guiding principle tonight is principle 7. It says reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. Step 10, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So we got a little scripture to go with that one. 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And you'll see this similar admonition throughout a lot of the teachings that we do here, in that this is a process that builds, and it's something we're consistently needing to work and to go back to. And so it's just a general admonition of just be careful that pride or cockiness or I've recovered kind of mindset doesn't set in. We have busy lives, but for me, my recovery has to be at the top of that list of things that I've got to do just right beneath Jesus in order for me to continue to make sure that I'm not falling. So I remember when I looked at step 10 when I went through my step study, and I thought, this is kind of how that way I read it. We continued to take personal inventory. Once again, I had the thought of, why? Well, I already did that. Check that off the list. I thought we were done with that. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So promptly wasn't like 5 or 10 years later. It was like more promptly than that. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. A little more prompt than that. And so I thought, wow, that's interesting, I thought. You know, you hear the refrain, hurts, habits, and hang-ups here at CR. And I don't know about you, but when I walked in the doors for the first time, it was really because of my habit, my alcoholism. That got me into CR and the associated hurts that addiction brought with it. And that might be a similar experience that you had. That hurt or habit or both were just enough to finally drive you into this room. What I've found after working recovery for a while is it is my hang-ups that keeps me coming back each Wednesday. It's the hang-ups. It's the little stuff. It's the hang-ups that I had when I was a drunk, but I also had the liquor to not pay any attention to that. And I'm sure I had certain hang-ups that went along with being an alcoholic, but as I got sober, all of a sudden I realized I have a ton of hang-ups. This clear mind, yay, looking at all these flaws. And that's why I keep coming back, is I consistently am getting tripped up over the hang-ups. And we're going to talk about relapse here, I think in the next lesson, actually, in a couple weeks. And for me, every time I relapsed, as I look back now with kind of a clarity, it was the hang-ups that started me down that path to relapse. It wasn't the actual habit of taking a drink and falling back into a drunken stupor. And so I think that step 10, the daily inventory, consistent, frequent, constant look, is really kind of helping address the hang-up. Step 4 for me took a look at the hurt and the habit. And so that's kind of how I kind of break that down. Recovery. Now, those of you that know me or spend any time talking with me, I have, to me, my recovery in my faith, and probably it's because I got sober and I got Jesus at about the same time. I actually got Jesus a little before getting sober. And as I look at recovery, not just in CR, but certainly it's a big part of it as a faith-based recovery program, but I sometimes find it indistinguishable, my faith walk and my recovery walk. And if you look at recovery to me, like faith, should transform you. This is not something that's going to repair you. I mean, I'm not doing recovery to get repaired. Just like we're not rearranged or remodeled in Christ. We're reborn in Christ. And so this is we're restored, you know, back to how the Father created us. So I really want to emphasize that transformational peace that you should be working towards. And I believe that principle 7 and step 10 are the keys to that transformation. In fact, I would go as far to say that that real transformation in recovery is impossible without this step. And so I want to dig in a little deeper tonight into what I think is an essential step in the recovery process. And that's not to say that what we've talked about over these last few weeks is not essential. I just have, when I look at this and what this does, and it so closely ties in for me personally that faith and recovery walk, I can be walking the walk, talking the talk, but am I transformed or am I just getting a bunch of information? So I want to encourage you to kind of check your transformation meter and see where you're at as we go through the lesson tonight. So you've got the handout, hopefully. Handout is going to list three ways or strategies that you can employ to do a step 10 daily inventory. So you've got the O, the D, and the P. And so we're just going to fill those in real quick, and then we'll kind of break them down here. So the O stands for ongoing. You're going to do an ongoing inventory, and we'll elaborate on that in just a moment. The D is for daily. You're going to do this daily. And the P is for periodic. So ODP, ongoing, daily, periodic. Now, this is not a multiple choice deal. I get to pick one, and then I'm good. Okay, this is a process that builds. And so that's where we'll start with O and we'll go through to periodic. Because each time we move from one letter to the other, we're kind of getting a bigger look at our recovery, at our condition. Okay? So let's start with the O, ongoing inventory. And as it sounds, this is the piece that you would do throughout your day. So different than the daily, which we'll talk about in just a moment, this is going to be throughout the day. So you're going to have, depending on your day, multiple inventories in a given day. Perhaps multiple in a given, you know, before lunch hour, depending on how your day is going and how you're acting or reacting. So the consistency, we want to get real frequent with this. We want to get this ingrained. We want to be fluent in the inventory process. And so you can already see kind of what I said earlier. If I'm doing it at this level of frequency, what the heck am I going to put on a step 4? You know, it's not going to be that giant list that I came up with when I did mine, because I'm tackling these as we go. And so maybe I can keep all the positive stuff on step 4. You know, you're a great guy, you're wonderful, all that type of stuff. But if you're doing this ongoing, you're going to be attacking things as they come up. I want to divide the ongoing piece. So what are you going to do? What are you going to look at in that ongoing piece into three areas? And we would list those as your actions, your words, and your thoughts. So let's talk just a little bit about those. So actions, you're going to be assessing throughout your day, how are your actions impacting you? How are your actions impacting others? And what as you can see, and I know in my life, I'm quick to act sometimes, too quick to act. I react, I guess would be the appropriate way to say that. And many times the day will go by and I haven't, I've done something I shouldn't. I've done something I need to make an amends for. But if I'm not in that ongoing mode of examining, self-examination, I'm going to miss that. And so if I'm setting some time aside in my day, that can be something that's regimented. Many of us might have jobs or positions where we have some kind of regimented breaks in the day, morning break, lunch break, afternoon break. Maybe that's a time to put some regiment on your life. A lot of us have these fancy schmancy devices that can send us reminders and make sounds and all that type of stuff. You may want to set yourself up some alarms throughout the day. Make sure to turn those off if it's not an appropriate time, but just some things to kind of cue you in. We're looking at these things all the time. Put some reminders right in front of your face in that ongoing process. So just be thinking as you're ongoing, how are my actions influencing others? What's motivating my actions? Am I acting out of love, out of kindness, or am I reacting out of fear, out of defensiveness, things like that? Moving on to your words. And Ted, I think we've got a couple of, let me get some scripture up here. I'm going to kind of go out of order. So let's see. Let's talk about this. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no foul or polluting language or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech that is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others." And how about this one from Proverbs 12:25? "A word of encouragement does wonders." So kind of two ends of the spectrum there in our words. Not only, I think sometimes we leap to, especially when we're talking about inventory, we kind of leap to the, what shouldn't I say? What did I just say? Versus remember to compliment, remember to encourage. I talked about that in my last teaching on amends. Biblical encouragement, wisdom, love, truth, things like that. So both ends of the spectrum there. James chapter 3, I don't have any scripture from it, but that's another, he does a great a bit of writing on the power of your words, some great pictures in there. Somewhat frightening, actually, if you really think about how powerful your words are. Think about words. Here's your fun fact for the night. I always like to bring in a fun fact. There was a study back in, I think it was 2013, and it came up after, I don't know exactly, I do not know the methodology here, but it claimed that men will use approximately 7,000 to 10,000 words a day. Women will use somewhere between 18,000 and 25,000 words a day. A study I did just the other night, teen girls that live in your house will use approximately 16 billion trillion words a day. Usually on Instagram or something chat or whatever, I don't know what it is, but a lot of times that's me. That's a lot of words. And sure, there's a lot of filler in there, but think about you can look at it a couple of ways. Think about the margin of error, that many words and how many can slip through the cracks if you're not really paying attention to your speech. You hear that idea, that concept of, I mean, we've all heard it, think before you speak. I actually have a friend who gave me a great, I guess, acronym for that. The acronym is WAIT, W-A-I-T, and that stands for, why am I talking? My wife spells it W-A-Y-T, why are you talking? So you can spell it either way. But unfortunately, many times that acronym comes to mind after I've already kind of started a sentence, and I actually just have to say, wait, you know, in my head, wait. And I'm getting better, but that is certainly one of my hang-ups. Speaking before I think. Speaking without thinking about sensitivity and the ramifications. Speaking without thinking about the indirect audience, not only who I'm talking to, but who may be hearing me, things like that. So really focus in on your language. Now, both with the actions and the words and with the thoughts, what we're going to talk about next, you know, how are you going to keep track of this? A lot of times they're flying by. Journaling is a great way. Now, that happens to be another one of my hang-ups. I am a lousy journaler, a lousy writer. I am a pretty prodigious note-taker, just to remind myself of things. And so, whether it's on my phone or written on paper, just jotting down things that I want to go back to in my daily inventory, which we'll get to later. We'll kind of do a daily review. So a journal is a good idea if you want to take some notes on your phone, just to kind of realize, because you may not be able to make the amends right then, but you know you're going to need to. So you make sure you want to journal that down in some form. Thoughts. And I've got a little bit of scripture for that here. Let me see, which one am I going to use? Here we go. Maybe. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 13. If I had the gift of being able to speak in other languages without learning them, and could speak in every language there is in all of heaven and earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making noise. And I think that really speaks to the thought process. Super big hang up of mine. I thought as I was putting on the wireless mic tonight to come up here, and you know, there's always that concern of what if it's on when you're like in the restroom, or what if it's on when you're whatever. And I thought, well, what if it was on in my thoughts? Wouldn't that be bad? Yes, it would be a lot of times. That's between God and me kind of thing. But it just got me thinking about that idea, how hard it is for me to rein in my thoughts. But I would say, at least for me, I would say that the thought oftentimes will lead me down a wrong path with the other two, my words and my actions, meaning it's coming from inside. And so I'm looking I'm working very hard on that thought process change, where right now it's a lot of just awareness, you know, thinking about why did I think that? You know, fortunately I haven't said anything, I haven't stepped in it or something like that, I haven't reacted, but why did that thought even come into? Where is that coming from? And really looking at that. One of the things that I think is maybe a positive, and once again there have been studies on this, I don't know if you relate to this or not, but they say we can only kind of maintain one thought at a time in our head. Now, many of us might have 1,000 thoughts coming in a given time, and we think, you know, we've got all a bunch of issues in there, but typically it's one at a time. It may just be a sequence of like 100 in a minute, you know, type thing for you, if you're one of those folks. But the good news about that idea of a thought kind of dealing with it one at a time is that if you are aware, okay, if this is an ongoing process, in other words, then you can take and you can supplant, or you can replace that negative thought with something positive. So I would suggest that you have a reservoir of positive thoughts, positive, you know, kind, loving, affirmative thoughts that can come from Scripture. That can come from a daily affirmation. That can come from, you know, Google 100 quotes on encouragement or something like that. Pick a few that you like. Think of the concept of your true identity in Christ. How does He view you? What does He say you are? Okay? And implant that and see if that can perhaps take the thought that you're not happy with and move it to something that's a little more productive. As I said, journaling is a great way to document all of this. Remember, ongoing not only refers to the inventory part of this, but it refers to the amends process as well. So when you have, if you have the opportunity during your ongoing part of the inventory during your day to make amends immediately, I encourage you to do so. So amends are ongoing in this process as well. So now we move to the D, daily. So now we've been hopefully working on going through the day, and we're going to find some time, as it says in the principle, find a little time to be with God, find some time that you can maybe pull yourself away from the family, from the friends, from the work, from whatever it is, and do kind of an overview of the day. However, before you do that, before we get to that stage, because I'm kind of big into this whole preemptive striking of things, and so I would suggest a preemptive strike on this. This is something that is a hang-up for me as well. I'm much better at asking for forgiveness than for permission. And I do that with God as well. Hang-up for me is I do not start my days as often as I should with God. It's like I'm afraid that he's going to hold me accountable if I include him in my plans in the morning. If I don't, I can keep them secret, you see, from him throughout the day and then ask for forgiveness at the end of the day. Logical thinking there. So I'd say make a preemptive strike. Invite God into your day early on, in the morning, whether that, you know, with prayer, with a devotional. Remember, he doesn't force himself on us. So invite him in. He's with us, but invite him to be a part of you. Get your mind in that God focus, and affirm that in your life. And so that will, I think, then help you with your thought life, you know, the ongoing part of your inventory. So let's say you've done that, or maybe you're like me and you don't do that as often as you should. At the end of the day, I am very good at reviewing my day. I'll call it my hit the pillow check-in. At the worst case scenario, it's when my head hits the pillow. I'm thankful for things. I look at my day. Many times I do have some time in the evening where I just reserve some quiet time for myself, and the family knows to just not bother me. And I'm able just to kind of reflect on the day. I'm able to look at my notes if I've taken in my ongoing inventory. I'm able to get a different perspective on what I thought. Maybe I justified an amend that should have happened earlier in the day away, but as I think about it more and it sticks with me, I think, no, I need to make that amend tomorrow, the next day, or something like that. So you're going to review your day. Use Principle 7 as a guideline for that, I would suggest. So you look at, inviting God in, maybe a little Bible reading in that, and prayer to kind of seek his will as you're looking through your list. I want you to, at this point in time, you're also going to be, especially if you're journaling in either electronic or handwritten, start looking for patterns. That's one of the best reasons, or one of the main reasons why you want to be documenting this, is to look for patterns. When this happens, I do this type thing. And so it just gives you a little bit bigger picture. That ongoing is kind of in the heat of the moment. This is you stepping back and getting a little better picture of how the day went and what were maybe some of the outside influences that at the time during your ongoing, you knew you had to deal with something. You knew you behaved poorly, let's say, and took an inappropriate action. But as you have the time at the end of the day, you're kind of looking at the why. What went in to create that? And if you start looking through your pages, previous pages of your journal, and you start seeing that come up again, you realize, hey, I've been walking right into that why all the time. And so you can start developing an action plan to counter that. So the goal with the daily inventory, I had a brother in my step study, I love the way he put this. He said, the goal with the daily inventory is to only make new mistakes. And I like the way he phrased that, okay? So only making new mistakes, meaning if we're addressing these and we are actively ongoing and engaging in this process, we should be learning from this information that we're writing down. Doesn't control that next day from the standpoint of what's thrown in our path that day. So try to make only new mistakes and see how that works for you as far as using this to kind of put that in the back of your mind. The P, periodic inventory. So now we're going to back up even further. So starting with the immediate during a day, then looking at the day as a whole, and now a bigger period of time where we can really see some trends. Periodic inventory is going to just give you that big picture look of recovery, let's say, or how you're behaving. I would recommend conducting a periodic inventory about every 2 to 4 months. Okay, so let's say we're going to put some time between. So you're going to have a fair amount of data. If you've been journaling or using your electronic device or something like that, you're going to be able to pick up some bigger trends. And hopefully you're going to be able to pick up some bigger successes. Because remember, you should be including that information in your journaling process as well. And if any of you have done a journal, and even me, as lousy as I am at it, anytime I've done that, boy, it's just really amazing to go back and look at those old entries. What was the big thing in your life at that point in time, or what was really bothering you, or what was just a stumbling block for you? And now sometimes you'll read it 2, 3, 4 months later, and it's almost laughable that you found that to be a big deal. That's improvement. That's great. This is not just about, oh my gosh, now I've got to look through 4 months of crud. So make sure you're keeping the positive notes, you know, in your journals as well. Get away. for some extended time. Extended is one of those open-ended kind of things. Some of you, that might be a weekend that you take for yourself once every 4 months. Some of you might be just 4 hours that you do every couple of months where you're just removing yourself from friends and family. And then just once again, get back into principle seven. I think it's a great way. Let's say if you're taking 4 hours or a weekend or something like that, if you were looking at kind of dividing up your time that you were going to allocate for this periodic. And obviously you've got to eat and you've got to have some fun and you've got to sleep and things like that. So, but the time that you are actually involved in your periodic inventory, you may want to use that principle seven, kind of look at time with God and seeking his will, time in the word. Okay, just in the word. We heard all the time, in the word, anywhere. It's amazing how many times you just pick up the Bible, turn to a page, something seems to leap off the page that was meant for you right at that moment. Or go to some favorite parts of the Bible, depending on how knowledgeable you are. Go to some of those favorite areas. And then, of course, prayer. So we talk about this, so maybe you divide your time in thirds with that and mix that up. You know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, and even though I hesitate to kind of mention this, because these things can suck you in. But oftentimes, if you take a look during your periodic inventory at your photo library, what you were doing, who you're doing it with, things like that, that will many times bring to mind maybe some things you missed in your journal, or it will elaborate on a journal note that wasn't quite complete. And so that will, and it will oftentimes bring back some pretty real feelings that you can really do some good work on. Now, you've got to resist the temptation to text, to tweet, to whatever one does on these things. I'm pretty basic. I still use it as a phone. Isn't that crazy? But it can be valuable. Also, those of you that are active in social media and you're posting stuff, you may want to take a look at some of those old posts if you're strong enough not to get sucked down a rabbit trail somewhere or just shoot off a quick little note that 20 minutes later you're still involved in solving the world's problems. But these can be actually really helpful in that because we do spend a fair amount of our life on it. A lot of those words are on that. And so don't just disregard that. And then I would say look at setting some goals. What do you want to do over the, let's say you're gonna do this again in 2 months or 3 months or 4 months. What are you going to do? What are you hoping to accomplish? As you've looked at your patterns, as you've looked at the pictures, as you've reviewed those pages of daily inventory or notes that you have, what is your action plan? In other words, always doing something so that you can measure your success. But it's also just another active process. As you can kind of get from this whole three, the ongoing, the daily, the periodic, the more we're paying attention to it, the better it's going to be used by us in our life. And so whatever you're doing as it relates to that, you know, do that. All right, so we've got a step 10 action plan summary. We've got some slides that'll be coming up here. And I think you've got that listed in your handout as well. So action plan point number one is continue to take daily inventory in your journal. So I can't encourage you enough. Document this as best you can. I full disclosure here, I am a lousy journaler, but I'm more inclined to take notes. So it's something that I just have to get that hang up and modify that because I've just seen the value in the times that I have done it. Summarize the events of your day in your journal. So that's another thing I kind of didn't mention in the daily. As we start looking at the bullet points, you may just want to either in writing, but have a summary, have a clear kind of how did the day go and why did it go that way and see if you can kind of come up with some cause and effect there. Read and memorize one of the step 10 verses. Those are in your step study guides. If you haven't gotten into a step study yet, I encourage you to do so. Where some real recovery work is done. Also, once again, I think essential if you're going to have that recovery transformation that you go through a step study. But those are in the step study book 4. And then work all the steps and principles to the best of your ability. Work. Okay. To the best of your ability. Really take and dig out. You know, we're here on lesson 20. When was the last time you checked in with denial? I mean, not denying something, but actually the lesson on denial, you know, where we started this process, looking at those things along the way as far as turn and all those. So just working those steps to the best of your ability. So let's kind of wrap up here with Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Because I think it's kind of all-encompassing. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and prophets hang on these two commandments. Let that sink in. That's pretty powerful. There are a few places in the Bible where there's what I'll call the cut to the chase, you know, pieces, and I think that's one of them, how that lays out there. You know, this also takes us back to principle 7 and step 10. If you are in a loving relationship with your God, then you are going to be more likely, it's going to be more natural for you to take and make and reserve time with Him. We do that with others in our lives that we love. We put them as a priority. I was doing a study in Romans this last Sunday, and one of the lines in Romans 2 is talking about, do you take lightly the riches of His kindness? And it was just a reality check for me of how many times do I do that? How many times do I take lightly the riches of His kindness, forbearance, patience, more than I should? And then it led me to believe how many times I do that with my earthly friends as well. So love your Lord and your God with all your heart. And if we take a look at the second piece of that, love your neighbor as yourself, if we're doing that, if you love others as yourself, you're going to be, you're likely going to be less judgmental, angry, prideful, and thus allowing you to admit your wrongs. You're going to be less defensive and make amends as they crop up, as the need crops up. And here's something that's really kind of wild to think about. Let's say you do this all the time. So you're going to admit wrongs and make amends, or perhaps as you consistently take your ongoing and your daily and your periodic inventories, perhaps, just perhaps, you won't need to make those amends. Okay, that's kind of where we're going here, not having to do that. So we're trying to, so when we look at step 10, we're talking about kind of putting to death the need to do a step 4, because you're in constant inventory mode. That's a lot. That's a lot to ask. That's a lot of attention. I don't want to bring people down, but this is real work. And if you just can't coast through a day and pick up a lot of those things that you're doing in the ongoing. So I encourage you to take step 10 and take this lesson seriously. Really impart it. See what you're doing well and see what you need to improve on. Let me go ahead and close in prayer if I could. Lord, thank you so much. We do love you with all our heart. We do just appreciate beyond earthly expression the transforming work you're doing in our lives. We know that this recovery work is ongoing, that it's daily, that it's periodic. We know that with you, all things are possible. We know that accepting hardship is the pathway to peace. And, you know, you will make all things right if we surrender to your will. Pray all these things in your name. Amen. Thanks very much.